It's Marketplace Tech for January 21st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Free or unlimited data plans are the new black in the wireless carrier world. AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint have all gotten rid of the two-year contract and are offering different ways for users to get more content without being charged. For example, this week Verizon unveiled a new service called Freebie, which lets content creators like the NFL pay Verizon, which will then allow users to stream that stuff for free. Sounds great for fans, but who really wins? Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
What's happening here is nothing less than finding a new way to make money. Mobile plans come in a million flavors and prices, but they're the same at the core. Customers pay wireless providers for the network. Here, companies pay wireless providers for the customers. Colson Hillier is Verizon's VP of Consumer Products.
All of our core business is based on direct-to-consumer monthly recurring charges for access. This gives us another way to position the investment we've made in the network.
Magazine publisher Hearst is one company working with Verizon. It's basically paying for you to be able to watch videos from Cosmo or Esquire for free, hoping that'll grow their audience. Wireless companies are hitting the limits of what they can get out of subscribers, explains Forrester Research VP Julie Osk.
It's going to be hard for them to get more revenue from consumers. Consumers are pretty tapped out.
Wireless makes up about 70% of Verizon's overall sales, so if consumers are tapped out, a new revenue stream sounds pretty nice. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
We'd like to do the numbers here on Marketplace, and this week a new number has arrived.
It's called M7420781.
University of Central Missouri computer science professor Curtis Cooper there, who discovered the number. If you think that number sounds long, by the way, I should warn you, it is an extreme abbreviation. This new largest known prime number actually has over 22 million digits. When was the last time you talked about prime numbers? High school?
I define it to be a positive integer that has exactly two factors, one and the number.
Examples 2, 5, 7, etc. Higher you get, the harder it is to find primes. Why, oh Lord, why are we even talking about this? Curtis again.
They're used routinely for encryption when you do transactions across the internet, you know, making sure the information is encrypted so that nobody can hack in and steal that information.
Granted, encryption with the new massive prime is a long way away. Most encryption these days uses numbers that are 200 to 300 digits long. By the way, 300 is not a prime number. If you want to discover more primes all by yourself, you're probably going to need a bigger boat. And by boat, I mean computer. However, there is free software that lets you help. It's called Prime 95. We have a link at marketplacetech.org. This week, the World Economic Forum is meeting in Davos, Switzerland. The annual gathering is a place for the rich, the powerful, and the influential to supposedly tackle the world's problems. One of the problems looming large this year, how automation might disappear a bunch of jobs. Arun Sundararajan is professor of information operations and management sciences at NYU. He is there in Davos and found a relatively quiet corner to chat with us. Arun, the World Economic Forum has this new report suggesting that by 2020, artificial intelligence and robotics will kill off 7.1 million jobs. Is that a realistic estimate?
I think it's pretty conservative, actually.
Wow.
We have to put this into context, though. As the economy progresses, technological change is constantly destroying jobs while creating new ones.
Sure.
And so the critical question here is, are we at a point where the rate of job destruction has exceeded the rate of job creation? Or are we at the point, are we sort of continuing a trend of creative destruction that leads to sort of some jobs going and some jobs coming back?
I know you're an optimist. What sort of negative effects might we expect to come from all of this?
I think that we are going to be facing a world in which a larger and larger fraction of the workforce does not have a full-time job and is therefore looking elsewhere for their social safety net. And we also face the prospect of people feeling that their education hasn't prepared them for this new world of work.
Are there ways that you think people who are in the workforce and expect to be in the workforce for a long time can embrace this change?
Absolutely. I can't underscore how important I feel learning how to be an entrepreneur is going to be in the future. Rather than being given the work that you're going to do in your career, you're increasingly going to have to define what it is.
I think one of the big questions in a lot of our minds is whether this technological change that we all see will actually transfer wealth to other groups of workers, or whether it will transfer wealth increasingly to, for lack of a better term, the 1%.
Yes, a larger and larger fraction of the population owns the means of production. You know, the people who are selling on Etsy or hosting on Airbnb or driving for Uber or lending money, they are part of the sort of production system. They are owners of the production system rather than simply being labor. And that could be inequality reducing. You know, the fundamentals and the technology by themselves are not what determines whether there's inequality. It's sort of like, you know, our corporate law, like our education policy, our work creation policy. These are the things that are going to eventually determine this.
Arun Sundarajan is Professor of Information Operations and Management Sciences at NYU. Arun, thanks for talking to us from Switzerland.
Thanks, Ben.
And music nerds who also happen to be Apple nerds have some good news this week. The company has released a new version of its GarageBand music-making software, also an app called Music Memos that helps you record musical ideas easily on your phone. What are you waiting for? Get out there, make stuff. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.